Chapter 49. I follow Levi north along the shore as if shackled to his leg. I scan the surroundings, looking for something familiar to indicate where we are. My nose twitches from all the wonderful non-trailer scents. Clean water in the air, fishy-smelling lichen on the rocks, the sweet tobacco-like aroma of decaying leaves, and the familiar comfort of cedar and pine. Levi turns at a cave in the black cliffs with a creek flowing toward the river. The cave turns out to be a tunnel passageway opening to a forest. We cross the creek by stepping on flat rocks that form a bridge of sorts. My right foot hits the last rock just so and skids on the slick surface before my shoe drives off the edge. My toes dip in the cold water, jolting me as if electrocuted. I could have ruined everything had my shoe completely submerged and soaked the watch. Pausing to rub the side of my foot with shaking hands, I pull the tracker knob on the old-timey watch around my right ankle. 10 seconds later, I've caught up to Levi as we approach a grove of pine trees. An old truck is parked between pines. It isn't so out of place. Rusty trucks like this are scattered across the island and throughout the county. Both Nishnabs and Zaganosh call them res trucks, regardless of who actually owns them. Some die a slow, oxidized death in an overgrown field or behind a shed with other discarded relics. This res truck is still perfect for going mudding or hauling an ice shanty onto a frozen lake. Levi starts it up with a key left in the ignition. The gear shift extends from the steering column like a skinny arm raised in greeting. Something about the truck feels familiar when I sit on the passenger side of the front bench seat. My finger finds a tear in the olive green vinyl that I knew would be there. This is the truck Dana used to bring me to Sugar Island. The pine trees quickly give way to maple trees. Levi's zigzagging route makes sense only because the fallen leaves are flattened ahead where the truck must have come from. The tire tracks are like a trail of breadcrumbs. It isn't until the winding path in the woods becomes a narrow road that Levi speaks. I can't believe you cheated on Jamie. Thought you were better than that. This is the first thing he wants to say to me? I didn't cheat. His dad raped me. Levi jerks his head to gape at me. That's not what Mike told me. Do I need proof for you to believe me? My voice falters because his question is my answer. I unzip my jacket and yank my shirt and bra strap from my shoulder. The bruise from his fingers is turning from dark red to purple. Well, how'd he get you alone? He chides at me. I thought you were smarter than that. Everyone knows he's a creep. Is that the part that matters, Levi? I blink away tears and force myself to focus, making a mental note of the dome-shaped rock along the path that looks like a mini Medusa swan. You were going to kick your teammate's ass for disrespecting me at Chimakwa the day you asked if I wanted to go into business with you, I say. He swerves around a fallen birch tree blocking the trail, eyes glued to the path while I keep talking. It's so wrong, Levi. All of this is wrong. You being involved with this meth business, you defending me every time but now, you letting Mike run the show, your birthday present in my closet. Your mom drugging me and Uncle David? Did you have anything to do with his death? No, Levi says quickly. Mike thought that once your uncle tried meth, he'd be incentivized to produce good stuff. Your uncle injected too much at once. Mike thought he might have done it on purpose. I wasn't there when it happened. Incentivized, I say dully. Is that why you put that box of pucks in my closet? His Adam's apple bobs, but he doesn't respond. What happens when you guys go too far with Jamie and take him out of the equation? I know you won't let him go. Will you go along with them when they want to incentivize me? Mike would never hurt you. The box of pucks was just a backup. Insurance if you tried to take the high road. I never would have played that card, but Mike said to be stealth and direct your opponent's fate. I'm your opponent? I ask quietly. No, Levi sputters. It's just a safety net to keep you on board. We'll let Jamie go and he'll stay quiet. We can scare him into keeping his mouth shut, he insists. Like how you threatened to end TJ's football career, I say. You can't trust anything Mike says. He kissed me in his bedroom that Sunday night when he helped me set up my BlackBerry. I had to give him a half dozen reasons why I wasn't interested. When I mentioned you, he said it could be our secret from you. Mike's not the loyal friend you think he is. Please listen to what I'm saying, Levi. Levi falls silent as we leave the woods. We drive across a field that's morphing from a farm into something else, returning to an untamed state. A patch of Mashka Dewashk grows. I wonder if it's the male or female version of Sage. Then I wonder why I'm wondering about it. We drive down a dirt road. I read a bent street sign and at least recognize where we are. He is headed west, toward the main road that runs north to south through the island. My heart pounds in anticipation of Levi's next turn. If he takes a left, we're going somewhere on the island with no chance for a signal to be sent. If he goes right, we might be headed to the ferry, or a secondary location to the north where a signal might get through. My only chance is a right turn. When Levi reaches the main road, he pauses for so long I might vomit out my own heart. I look down at my lap, my hands resting on my black jeans. He turns north, and I nearly cry out my joy. We might have a chance, if Jamie's watch around my ankle is transmitting anything. If I switched it on properly by the creek when Levi's back was turned. If Ron can be waiting on the mainland, maybe set up a checkpoint for all the cars exiting the ferry, like the night Lily was killed. This time it would be to find Jamie and me. If I can get back to the trailer to reach Jamie before 2 hours are up. How much time did it take for us to come this far? After arrests are made, will Sugar Island and my tribe be ripped to shreds by people in town who will be quick to distance themselves? Who else is mixed up in all this? I name the other two tribal members on the team. One graduated with me, and the other with TJ. Levi shakes his head. You got it all wrong. It's not Mike and some skins. I resist the urge to yell about his use of a racial slur. It's me and Mike and some poor guys who could use the money. Rob, Max, and Scotty. My relief at hearing the names of three Zuganash guys is chased by guilt and anger. Now they can't say it's an Indian thing, because they would. Levi, why are you involved in this? It can't just be for the money. I mean, you already get per cap. Sure, to you money's no big deal. It's the first time he sounds angry. My mom says that when the casino implodes like all of our boneheaded tribal business ventures eventually do, we won't be dependent on the tribe for anything. We'll never go back to being poor, pitiful nishnobs fighting over scraps. If you want something, say it out loud and decide in your heart to do whatever it takes to make it happen. She said that's how she got everything she wanted. Like with Dad? I blurt out before I think about how it might not help the situation. It wasn't just her, he says hotly. She wasn't the cheater. He cheated on your mom. Levi sounds like a little boy. A scared one. Levi, why did you lie about Dad's scarf? I ask quietly as he drives north on the main artery through Sugar Island. I don't know, his voice cracks. I found it when I was little, and when my mom saw it, she got real mad. Said it was a present from your mom to him. Fancy cashmere scarf that matched her green eyes. Whenever Dad wore it, he was letting my mom know that he should have been with your mom instead. He floors the truck so hard it shakes, like an old man forced to sprint. Maybe I thought if you had the scarf, you'd wear it, and it would be like rubbing my mom's nose in what she did that night on the island. She had Macy's dad do shots with Dad till he could hardly walk, so she could take her shot with him. I want to freeze time so I can digest each part of what my brother is telling me. But I need to focus on my plan. Our lives depend on it. Levi turns west toward the causeway to the ferry launch. We hear the ferry horn, and I'm racked with fear that we've missed it and we'll have to wait a half hour for the next one. My mom wanted Dad so bad, she wished for me and made it happen. I couldn't let you wear that scarf. I just couldn't. Donis, please don't ever wear it around her. I breathe a sigh of relief when we pull into a long line of cars waiting for the ferry. Okay, Levi. I promise I won't wear the scarf. He's the relieved one now. We aren't responsible for their choices, I say. We love imperfect people. We can love them and not condone their actions and beliefs. My brother's lower lip trembles. He seems on the verge of tears. I feel the same way. Levi, I don't regret Dana's choice the night of the party on Sugar Island, because it gave me my brother, and I love you. He smiles as one teardrop falls. I'm filled with hope that we'll get through this mess. We could do this, Donis, he says excitedly. You and me. We could figure out how to buy out everyone else and run this ourselves. No one would ever suspect us. We would be unstoppable. His expression is absolutely radiant. My heart tears open and something leaves. Whatever it is, it stays behind on Sugar Island as Levi claims the last remaining spot on the ferry. I look behind as if I might see a spot of fresh blood on the ground. The hydraulic ramp lifts like a drawbridge. I face forward at the ferry horn. Would we be unstoppable because you always get away with stuff? I ask wearily. Like when Travis took the blame for the BB gun blinding that lady's eye? My brother's face registers shock, fear, guilt, and shame. Then it smooths over into a mask of his own. Levi digs a flip phone from his coat pocket and dials a number. Instructs someone to meet him at the ferry launch. I listen for Grant's voice, but the person says nothing. The numbness in my upper arm seems to spread to the rest of my body. Put this on, Levi says, handing me a ball cap. When I don't, he adds, I'll tell Mike. I comply, and as I do, I think about Jamie alone in a trailer with Mike Edwards. Assess the problem. Jamie is in danger, and Ron doesn't know where we are. In the car next to us, Sini Nimki stares up at me. Inventory your resources. One elder. My eyes plead, help me, help me, help me. When the reversed thrusters jolt the ferry, I realize there are no barricades or police cars in the mainland parking lot. No one is coming to save me, which means I won't be able to save Jamie. The front drawbridge lowers, cars unload ahead of us. Levi lays on the horn because the car directly in front of us hasn't started its engine. What the hell, Minnie? Start your fucking car! He shouts to the red Mustang ahead of us. I look over to Sini once more. At first, I think she's telling us to get going, but then she mouths the words again, and I understand she's speaking only to me. Get out,